Brother Dan Monette from Oakland County, Michigan, will now serve us. And the title of his remarks is Thoughts or Thinking. I guess pick either or. Brother Dan.
Thanks, Brother Russ, and good morning, brethren. We are very happy to be with you, and we do bring the love of your brethren in Oakland County, and from my dear wife at home, Sister Connie, and she thanks all of you for thoughts and prayers as she recovered, and she is, by the Lord's grace, doing much better now. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or we might say, we are what we think, or we become what we think. Now, the thoughts of this short discourse came to us from a couple of sources. I was having a little discussion with my son a couple of days ago, and he was talking about a book that was recommended that talks about thinking. A fella, it sounded like a bunch of testimonies, but one case that he told me about that he heard about was someone who was paralyzed, who was told they would never walk again. And because they thought and visualized that they were going to walk again, and they dismissed any negative thoughts, he dismissed any negative thoughts, eventually he walked. And so certainly it comes to our mind when we hear things like that. Anything that is of the truth originates in the Bible. And certainly we find those thoughts in the Bible concerning thinking. And another, the Time magazine, the January 29th edition, was all about the brain. And one of the sisters in the class testified about some interesting thoughts brought out. And so we took a peek at the magazine, and our mind is simple. So the medical type information that was given didn't penetrate too deeply, but we wrote a couple of thoughts down, and we'll read them to you and see what you think and how they fit into the consecrated thinking. This one issue was called Mind and Body. It was a special issue, and one of the little squares with a sentence in it said, change your thinking, change your mind. And when we heard that thought, we said, well, that sounds like something the Apostle Paul said. Renewing our mind will change our mind. And in this article, there was a series of articles. One was Happiness and Meditation. And it was by a neuroscientist from the University of Wisconsin, Richard Davidson. And he wrote, the conscious act of thinking about their thoughts is it in a particular way, rearrange the brain or change the mind. And in this article, he writes near the end, the discovery of neuroplasticity, in particular, the power of the mind to change the brain, is still new for scientists, let alone the rest of us to grasp its full meaning. So he's talking about, as far as I can understand, that our mind is plastic or it can be remolded. And so we see that the world is starting to think along those lines more and more. We know that doctors are now saying religion is good for those who have especially terminal illnesses. If they have faith or if they have those of faith around them, the thinking will help the body to heal and so on. And we know Brother Russell was very ahead of his time. He was on the cutting edge in his day because he talked about these things. He wrote about these things. And a couple of interesting quotes we just pulled out from 5908. Comparatively few, even of the educated, and Brother Russell writes this over 100 years ago, and scientific people seem to appreciate the great power of the mind and its potent influence upon the affairs of our life. In reprint 2014, in mankind during the millennial age and in the saints of the present time, noble thoughts have an invigorating influence upon the physical system, and ignoble thoughts germinate seeds of physical disease. So we always enjoyed Brother Russell's suggestions, say, for instance, waking up your children. He said, in the morning when you wake them up and it's raining, he said, don't introduce negative thoughts, but go in and say, good morning, it's a wonderful day, isn't this nice, the grass is getting a good drink and the flowers are growing and so on. So you introduce a rainy day as something that's a good thing, something positive. And around the meal table the same way, if a food doesn't agree with your child, you're going to say in a positive way, little Billy is going to pass up the kielbasa or whatever it might be because we know that it won't agree with you and make you feel happy and so on, health-wise. So we know that Brother Russell, from the scriptures, understood that the way we think certainly influences the way we live. And the Apostle Paul as well, in the scripture that came to our mind instantly when we heard this thought, change your thinking, change your mind, from the scientist, was from Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 2. Very common to all of us. And the Apostle Paul says here, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the apostle is saying, don't conform, don't think like the world. Why not? Because if we think like the world, we'll talk like the world, and we'll act like the world. You know, I teach in a high school, and everybody wants to be an individual. And how do they do that? They all dress in a particular group. They all dress the same. They all talk the same. They all do the same things. And that's how they become individuals. But the Apostle Paul is saying to us, we need to raise our perspective. We have to look heavenward, and we have to transform our minds. How do we do that? Well, he says here, by renewing your mind. With what? With those things that are proven from God's word. The words of our Lord Jesus, the words of the apostles, and the words of the prophets of the Old Testament. This is what we fill our minds with. This is what will change the way we think. We'll exchange our aims and our ambitions and our hopes for the heavenly aims, ambitions, and hopes. Now, how do we get this mind? How do we get this transformation to happen? Is it one of those quick fixes? There was a book that was out years ago. I even read it when I was going to be a businessman. Think and Grow Rich. So the philosophy was the same. If you think aright, you can become a successful businessman and you can be successful enough to be rich. But we know that this is not a quick fix. To get a new mind, it's not a scheme, but this natural mind of ours does not easily change because it bends down naturally. We have the force of gravity, if you will, pushing us down to look at things as a natural man. So we have to fight against that. And we have to gradually bend our thoughts upward. And it's strenuous work, no doubt about it. Because we're going against the grain. We're going against the current of those around us, the thinking around us, the activity and thoughts being expressed around us. So this is a daily task, renewing our mind to heavenly things. And that's how we become heavenly minded. Now, there's no better illustration than that time-worn illustration of the Christian three-legged stool. And so this is how we change our mind. We have to pray, and then we have to study. We pray that the Lord would influence our mind, then we need to study the principles of truth and righteousness. and we come to an understanding of how to think aright so we can act right and that we can speak right and so on. And the second leg of the stool is meditation. Not only do we study, now we can study for hours and hours and go away and just live life and react to our daily experiences off the top of our mind, if you will. But we have to meditate upon these things that we're studying. We have to mull them over deeply. We have to make them our own so that when we have our daily experiences of life, those little experiences that are proving us, we will have the right thoughts. We will think and act like our Lord, like the apostles, like the prophets. The spiritual mind will kick into action, if you will, from meditating, mulling these things over. And the third is activity. We need to be active in the Lord's service. And not only active in speaking forth the truth in love, but of course we're living epistles read of men, so these things will come out in our natural ebb and flow of how we deal with life. And so we know that the more we can express what we've studied and thought about, the more it will be impressed upon our own minds and hearts. And, you know, I've found, you know, in the few years we've been in the truth, that those who really love the truth the most and know it the best are always talking about it. They're always talking about it with the friends or maybe off in a far land or in a restaurant, and they say, okay, well, you're interested enough, here's a napkin. And they'll be writing on a napkin or they'll be expressing the truth. And that's because it's on the front of their mind, and it becomes more and more impressed as they speak it forth. Now, we thought of some examples, and these aren't original. And we thought the mind is like, and we have three pictures. The mind's like a garden. So if you're a farmer, and I'm not, but I can understand the concept. If I plant corn, what can I expect to come up? But corn. So if we plant good thoughts, if we plant positive thoughts, if we plant the truth, the thoughts from the scriptures, then that's what will come up. That's what will come up in our thinking, in our words, in our actions. Second picture, the mind's like a basket. We all know this one. We like this one. We use it with our kids because it's easy to remember. You know, the basket, you either fill it with wood chips or you fill it with apples. And, of course, the wood chips are not worth anything. But they are a problem because they fill up the basket and they don't leave any room for the apples. So our thoughts, if we're filling up our mind with thoughts that aren't good, that aren't profitable, it's not only, you know, it doesn't help you in your daily thinking, but there's no room for the good thoughts and the good influence in your life. And the third is our mind is like a room. And we think of the apostles, remember, just before the day of Pentecost, about 10 days, the Lord said, go and preach the gospel, but tarry in Jerusalem until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they do for those 10 days? You know, in Acts 1, we see there were the apostles, there were the 120 in the upper room, and it said they were all of one mind. They were thinking of one thing. They were thinking of receiving the Holy Spirit and what they would do to continue the ministry of Christ afterwards. And so they had to be talking about these things. You know that when you come to a convention, you talk about these things. Well, what do you think it's going to be like when we receive the Holy Spirit? How will that affect us? How will we carry on this mission that our Lord started? So they emptied their minds, first of all, of their worldly cares. For those 10 days, they weren't talking about, boy, I wonder how the fish are biting, or anything along those lines. Their minds were empty, and now there was room to be filled up with the proper thoughts, and so they were prepared. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were ready, and they were filled, as the scriptures say, with the Holy Spirit, and there was room. And I think I'm going to skip this because I'm going to run out of time. But We've always appreciated the thoughts Brother Russell brings out on this in reprint 4306. And he compares the mind to a room, and you know, the door is the will, and so on. And so it's a real nice example or an excellent illustration of our daily lives, that we need to have room. We have to empty the mind so that we can fill it with the proper thoughts. And study, prayer, meditation, those things are what empty the mind of the daily temporal thoughts to give us room to have those proper thoughts in our mind. Now, our Lord Jesus prayed for us to God that we would get this change of mind or change of thinking. And his prayer, his beautiful prayer in John, the 17th chapter, verses 16 and 17, the friends will remember, this was the last night of his life after the supper in the upper room. Praying to his heavenly Father, he says, "And they," that is, these apostles and those who would follow them, "are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the Lord prayed that we would get this new mind. And how would we get it? How would we be set apart from the present concerns and the present way of thinking and the present ambitions of this life? By the truth. The truth would wash away, if you will, all those temporal concerns and would give us, it would fill us with the thoughts of the new creature so that we might develop and be able to use that new mind to properly react to our daily experiences. I think I'm going to jump to a couple practical words of advice on thinking. And the first one is going to be from Brother Russell. The second will be from a guy with a wristband. The third will be from the Apostle Paul. And the fourth from the psalmist. From Brother Russell, in the Morning Resolve, he says, "The earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me," and so on. So I think this is good advice for thinking. My earliest thought, my first waking thought, I want it to be, "The Lord has blessed me. The Lord is good. The Lord has shown me great love. What can I do in response?" That we want that to be our first thought. I think that's good advice. So if we bend our mind in the right direction from the start, it's like that law of inertia. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. A thought in motion tends to stay in motion. If we get it moving in the right direction, it's easier to continue in that direction. So it helps us as we go out the door and we face the world and we face our daily tasks of life. Now, training the mind is like training the body. It takes time and it takes effort. And you're going to be sore after you work out. But you have to keep fighting. You have to keep moving. I read somewhere one time that after 30 days, something becomes a habit. So you have to say, for instance, you said, as soon as the alarm goes off, I want to train myself to think thoughts of the Lord, his love for me, and what my responsibility, how I will reciprocate that love. Now, way back when I was going to school, there was a scientist, I think, named Pavlov. And he trained dogs to salivate when they heard a bell. First, of course, he had some meat, and he rang the bell at the same time. And they weren't salivating because they heard the bell. They wanted to eat the meat, so that was a natural response. But after a time, he didn't have to show them the food anymore. He just rang the bell, and the dogs automatically salivated. So when the alarm goes off, as we train ourselves, that will be our cue to start thinking aright from the moment the alarm goes off. So our earliest thought can be triggered by the going off of our alarm clock in the morning. Now, the second piece of advice on thinking comes from the guy with the wristband. Well, you know those wristbands that used to be popular? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Now, this is good advice on thinking. Now, I think it became a fashion trend, but it's a good idea for ourselves to say, what would Jesus do? Think like Jesus. And, of course, the only way to think like Jesus is to know him. And the only way to know him is to read about him. How did Jesus react in situations? What principles of truth and righteousness did he teach? So I think that's some practical advice. And the third is from Philippians, the fourth chapter, and verse 8. And here we see that the Apostle Paul says, before you think, ask yourself 8 questions. That's pretty cumbersome. That's pretty difficult. Certainly, I have not perfected this at all, but it's good advice. And the friends are familiar with this as well. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are have any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, before we think on something, we say, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? And so on. So, does that mean there won't be thoughts that come into our mind and we start thinking about them? And we've lost? Well, no. Because when those thoughts come in our mind, now we can back up and we can ask a question and say, is this a proper thought to be thinking about? Is this healthy to the new creature? And we have a test, a litmus test for our thoughts. How are we doing, Brother Russ? Are we about done?
I don't know if you are, but...
we'll finish up with the final thought. Now, the psalmist tells us how we should think at night, how we should finish the day. In the longest psalm, Psalm 1, is it 118? 119, good. Glad you were prepared. 119 and 148. And so finally, at the end of the day, to continue to think properly, the psalmist, now I can't think and turn pages at the same time. Let's see, where are we at? 119, 148. He tells us, mine eyes prevent or anticipate the night watches that I might meditate in the word. So if we can train ourselves to think like this, to anticipate the night watches, to look forward to going to bed and laying our heads down and saying, my last thoughts, I want to be thoughts about the Lord. Think about his wonderful plan and the precious promises and the great love he's shown me. This will help us in our perspective. It will help us to think right. And as our scientists are saying, I'll look back and read what they say, change your thinking, change your mind. And the good thing about this from the scriptures is if we change our mind, if we get the new mind and we keep the new mind, there's a bonus. We get a new body that goes along with it down the road. May the Lord add his blessing.
Well, we thank our brethren. They were, as we described on the program, mini discourses, but they are mega assignments, if you will. They take a lifetime. But we thank the brethren for their counsel. And we will be closing with a word of prayer. There will be no hymn right now. And you have a half hour, roughly, of fellowship. We'll ask that you come together a couple minutes before we resume. And we'll ask Brother Dan to close with a word of prayer. Brother Dan.
Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before thy throne of grace this morning, thanking thee for the privilege of being together as a group of thy people to consider the beauty of thy plan. We do ask thy continued blessing upon this day. We pray that our thoughts would be proper, that our fellowship would be edifying one to another, that we would be strengthened to fight this good fight of faith, to live our lives daily as lights that shine before the world of mankind, Help us, dear Lord, to fully appreciate the blessings that thou hast given us, and help us to be faithful to the end. And we do praise thee and thank thee for all thy blessings. We especially thank thee for the gift of thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, in whose name we do pray. Amen.